Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp!
Well, it's that time again for Pop Star Talk, and this week we have a real treat for you. Hi, Mary Jane Popp here, along with my producer, Kenneth Segura-Knoll. I say it's a treat because we have two celebrities that will bring back so many wonderful memories. Hi, Ken, how are you?
I am doing very well.
Oh, good. That's nice to know. Listen, here's a quiz. What was the most popular entertainment show between 1967 and 1978 when everybody wanted to see what was going to be happening on this show and the musicals? They did so many different things.
I was going to say the Jackie Gleason show, but how about the
The Carol Burnett show.
Yeah. Those are the two shows I remember watching I was actually a teenager.
Yeah.
But I love the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, she was everybody that was on that show was absolutely fabulous. I mean, when Tim Conway and Harvey Korman did their thing, they broke each other up because Harvey Korman never knew what Tim Conway was going to do. And you know what I love best about it? The monologue. When Carol would come out and she said, bring up the lights, and, you know, for the audience and everything, and they could ask any question. And she was such a talent. I mean, this woman was brilliant. She could answer almost anything. She always had a bright, fun answer for everyone. And they loved her because she was so honest and true. And I think everyone on that show was. Like I said, Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, and the guests we're going to have today. It is so wonderful because the first time that I watched, I could have sworn that Carol Burnett and Vicki Lawrence were sisters. Didn't you think?
I always thought they were.
Yeah. Well, no, they weren't. And we're going to find out why today. And let me put it this way. Before we talk to Vicki directly, I don't think I even have to introduce this character to you. It was a spinoff from the Carol Burnett show with Vicki Lawrence. So listen to this.
You're wonderful.
I love your hair.
Oh, you couldn't possibly. It's filthy. Eunice told you to say that now, didn't she?
No, she didn't.
Come rain or shine, I get my hair done every Friday at 3:00. But last Friday, no. That sister of yours there has to pawn off those two little holy terrors of hers on me. All you had to do was say no, Mama. Well, you said you'd be back here at 2:30. You know what time she got back here?
I couldn't help it if Dr. Hanson kept me waiting for an hour and a half.
3:15. I had to go to church Sunday with my hair filthy. It's a wonder they let me in the door.
You know, that little Debbie's going to be quite a beauty. She's a spitting image of Ellen.
You know, it was so funny because could you imagine Vicki Lawrence turning into Mama, Thelma? It was an incredible series. And it ran from, if I'm not mistaken, 1983 to 1985 on NBC. Then it was renewed from 1986 to 1990. And how she would transform. I mean, Vicki Lawrence was a cute gal. And then transform herself into this little old nasty lady. But that was the talent that they had on that show, don't you think, Ken?
Oh, they're great talent. It's fun to go to YouTube and watch some outtakes and just the whole making of this great show. I loved, there was a bit they did about the elephant, you know.
Tim Conway went crazy.
Yeah. But all their skits were just, you know, pre-Saturday Night Live. And you know, they set the standard. And even Saturday Night Live, who has great skits, it was hard to match what they were doing on those two shows.
And beautiful costumes. And just, I was trying to remember who the designer of the costumes was on. It escapes me now, but I'm going to have to look it up because he was incredible. It was like hundreds of costumes every week. This is a weekly show. and he came up with it. So I'm going to have to look that up. But need I say more? She is Thelma May from Mama's Family and Vicki Lawrence wrapped into one, which I think is absolutely incredible. But before, she was even more than that. Vicki Lawrence was more than just Thelma May or, you know, on the Carol Burnett Show. Do you remember the song that topped the charts, Ken, back in 1972? And it's a great way to introduce the one and only Vicki Lawrence as she took us back to that night in Georgia.
He was on his way home from Candletop. Been 2 weeks gone and he thought he'd stop at Webb's and have him a drink before he went home to her. Andy Warlow said hello, and he said, hi, what's doing, whoa, said, sit down, I've got some bad news, it's gonna hurt. Said, I'm your best friend, and you know that's right, but your young bride ain't home tonight. Since you've been gone, she's been seeing that Amos boy, Seth. Well, he got mad and he saw red, and Andy said, boy, don't you lose your head, 'cause to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia.
If it's a dysfunctional family that you seek, then look no further than Mama's Family. And our favorite of the Harper family, Mama herself, Vicki Lawrence, of course. And now Mama's Family can come to your family. Hi, Vicki. How are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What a pleasure to have you on my show.
Oh, thanks.
Did you ever think that Thelma May would take on such a real-life persona?
No, but she speaks to everybody.
You know, I think you're right. People, they see themselves in Thelma May.
Well, I'm not sure they see themselves, but they see somebody in their family. But I've never had anybody take it personally, if you know what I mean.
Oh, that's good.
But everybody says, you're my aunt, you're my grandma, you're my mother, you know. So it's, I guess, good to know that we all have somebody like that in our family, and it's good to be reminded that it's we all have it.
And so it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Now, it started actually as a skit on the Carol Burnett Show, did it not?
It did.
And that was like, what, 1974, I think?
Something like that. I was 24 years old, yeah.
You were a kid when you met Carol Lawrence. What was the story behind that? Wasn't it some kind of contest or something?
Oh, getting on the Carol Burnett Show?
Yeah.
I wrote her a fan letter and told her that I looked like her and would love to meet her, and she made arrangements to meet me.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it is amazing. The two of you, when we saw you, and I was a big fan of the Carol Burnett Show, too, and I date back to actually seeing the real thing, not the replays. But actually, when we saw it, honestly, you two look like sisters. It was amazing.
Well, yes. No relation, but clearly a resemblance.
It was meant to be.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how much of you, Vicki Lawrence, was in Thelma May?
Well, I don't think a lot, but I do feel as I get older that I think more like her. It gets easier to think like her.
Really?
Well, you know, you kind of get to a certain age where you've earned the right to say what you're thinking.
Good for you. You know, that's right. And don't care, right? What anybody thinks. I love it. Do you have a philosophy of life? Because you've done so many wonderful things. And I have to tell you, and I hope my listeners feel the same way, and I know they do, you are a wonderful actress. I've seen you in other things. You know, we all think of you as Thelma May, Mama's Family, which is wonderful. But the other things that you've done has been great.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, no, it's fun. I never thought I would do it either. It's not what I wanted to do for a living. I thought I was going to be a dental hygienist.
No way. Serious?
Yeah, that's what I thought, and I kind of got kidnapped by show business, so it's been fun.
Well, lucky for show business and lucky for us. Now, do you have a philosophy of life that kind of keeps you going?
I do. My motto is, life is much too serious to be taken seriously.
I like that. That should be your not only that, but your epitaph someday down the line, way, way, way down the line. Tell me who Vicki Lawrence is. Step out and look back at yourself and say, Vicki Lawrence is what? Who?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I think I'm a good wife and a good mother and a pretty good cook and I like to laugh.
You know, what makes you laugh?
Well, my husband makes me laugh. I think that's why we've stayed together so long, honestly, is that we make each other laugh. And what makes me laugh? I don't, who knows? I think I just see things sideways, maybe.
That's good.
You know, I mean, normal things make me laugh. Or, I don't know, watching people makes me laugh.
Are you a people watcher?
I love to watch people.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds familiar. I love to go to a baseball game once a year just so I can see all the people. Watch them eating their peanuts and doing strange things.
Yeah. Well, and we're in the airport a lot, so a lot of good people watching there, too.
Excellent. Excellent. What do you watch television at all?
We do, although I have to say nowadays I think I'm watching more dramas than I am comedies.
Like what?
Oh, well, gosh, like Mad Men and Downton Abbey and The Good Wife and...
You know what I've gotten hooked on lately? I don't know if you've ever seen it, and it's on PBS, Doc Martin. It is amazing. It's a BBC produced.
But, oh, no, I have not. But they do some great stuff.
Oh, this...
They really do.
One of my reviewers on the Pop-Off radio show told me that. You got to watch Doc Martin. I'm going, yeah. You know, it's just another series. I got hooked on it. And it's the dry humor that they have that we don't have. It's completely different.
Yeah. No, they do some really good stuff, those Brits.
What motivates Vicki Lawrence more than anything else?
What motivates me?
Yeah. Do you still love doing, you know, the work or, you know, do you have any hobbies?
Well, I love to cook. I love playing with my dogs. And we like to sail. We live on the water.
Ooh.
I don't know. Sometimes I knit. Sometimes I don't.
It's whatever moves you. Yeah, whatever moves you. What kind of dogs do you have?
We have a Labrador Retriever that we rescued. She's our third lab.
Aww.
And we've rescued the second two. And we have a little PBGB. Petit Basse Griffon Vendéen for those dog people out there.
Good Lord, I'm
and
glad you said
we rescued him also. He came, he was kind of being neglected in a backyard in Indiana, and we said, well, bring him out here to California. My brother-in-law's from Indiana, and my sister said, he's in Indiana? You got to get him out here right away.
What part of Indiana?
Well, I don't know. Rural.
Is
outside
it?
Of Indianapolis.
Oh, my gosh. I had a television show for 4 years in Indianapolis.
Oh, really?
Serious. And I was actually born and raised in the, I say Chicago area because they don't understand. East Chicago is on the Indiana side.
Okay. Well, the lady that had him was kind enough to drive him up to the Chicago airport and put him on a plane for us.
Oh, bless.
And my brother-in-law is from Indiana, too. So, Richmond, Indiana.
Oh, sure. I know where Richmond is. Good grief.
He is a preeminent jazz drummer.
Oh, my gosh. Well, my whole family was from Indiana because my husband was from the northeastern part of Indiana. My sister-in-law was from the Chicago area, and we all went to Indiana University. So it was
as did Uncle Jeff. It's Jeff Hamilton. Your family will probably know him. He's arguably one of the best jazz drummers in the world.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful. How big a family did you have?
I just have one sister.
Just one sister, okay.
Yes.
All right. You have a small family, too. I just have one brother, and that's it.
Yeah.
And but, you know, sometimes people say, oh, well, it's good to have a big family. Sometimes a small one's better because you understand them more. Don't have to deal with all the different personalities.
Yeah.
And you say you love to cook. What kind of food?
Oh, gosh. All kinds of food. I read cookbooks kind of like other people read novels, I think. And I love to watch the cooking channel. Most particularly, I think Barefoot Contessa and Giada are my favorites.
Very cool.
And
what about kids? Do you have kids?
We have two children. We have they're grown. We have a daughter and a son.
Do they follow in the business?
Well, our son directs my road show. And our daughter is a professor at Colorado State.
Fantastic. What does she teach?
She teaches environmental policy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you're proud of your kids, huh?
I am.
Do you have family get-togethers? Not like Mama's family, but I mean, do you have get-togethers?
Oh, sure. Sure.
It's wonderful to know someone who cares about what they do and life, and that they enjoy it. It seems like you enjoy every day.
I do.
When you get up in the morning, what, you know, does Vicki Lawrence say, hey, today I'm going to what?
Oh, I don't know. You know, we're on the road so much that when we're home, it's just, it's so nice to be here by the water and just kind of enjoy our neighborhood and go. We live in a lovely spot where there is not a day that I walk the dogs that I don't see a garden I've never seen or something I've never noticed. And it's like living in a resort almost.
Wow.
We're just, it's a really special spot. It's called Naples, and it's a little island in kind of south of Long Beach.
No kidding. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and it's really nice. We've got canals and gondoliers.
Ooh.
And, yeah, it's a neat spot. So I don't know. On any given day, it's just lovely to enjoy the neighborhood.
Gotcha. Now, when you travel, what kinds of things are you doing?
Well, I have a road show called Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show.
No kidding. Are you ever going to come up to Northern California with it?
Well, we have.
God.
You know, you just got to kind of keep an eye on my
on your
website, VickiLawrence.com, and
okay.
Find out when I'm going to be in your hood.
Oh, my gosh, that we've got to see.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun, the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. What if you could pick out something, a project that you want to do in the future, what would that be?
Oh, I'd like to turn into Nora Ephron because I miss her so much.
Oh, really?
You know, I would just wait for her books and just read them and laugh till I cried.
Aww.
And I miss her, and I think, gosh, Vicki, could you ever be Nora? No, I couldn't. I don't think I can be Nora Ephron. But I think about, you know, who's going to write those great books that women laugh at, you know, all the stuff we need to be laughing about.
Well, the other thing, too, is we need to promote more women, period. I mean, not only in, you know, the film industry and TV industry. There are some wonderful ones like yourself, like Carol Burnett. But we need a lot more to have that influence because we look at life in a different perspective, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, we do.
You know, and I think that's, I don't know, it's an inner something that is just totally different. It's the way we're wired. Like Dr. John Gray used to say, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We're different.
Yeah, yes, we are.
And hooray, you know, we didn't want to keep it that way. So you'd want to just kind of move. What about television? Ever thought about going back to television?
If it was the right project and the right thing, sure, I would love to.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, what else? What are you going to do? Sit on your butt?
You know, I understand people that want to retire. Now, I don't know how old you are, but I'll be honest with you. I'm 67. I don't want to retire.
No, I don't want to retire.
For what?
Too quiet for me.
Well, you know, and if you're doing what you love, and that's the thing we don't seem to promote anymore. Don't do it only for the money. You know, some of these kids go to school to get an MBA because they think they're going to get a job and make money. And then they're miserable all their lives. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Money isn't everything. Well, it's a lot, but not everything.
Yes, it is.
Now, tell me a little bit about Mama's Family. I've seen the DVD. Wonderful. And this is what, season one and two?
Seasons one and two have been released into retail, and there are a couple of different configurations. And I think they'll probably do three and four next year and five and six the following year. Or for my diehard fans, they can go to the Time Life website or to my website or to Mama's Family DVDs, and they can buy the entire collection, which is just so adorable. I'm so proud of it. It's got a memory book with it, with a family tree and lots of quotes, and it's got tons of bonus features, and it's got all 130 episodes. So it's a beautiful little set. I mean, I just am so proud that there's finally a lovely little tribute to this, I would say, arguably first best dysfunctional mother on television.
Oh yeah. I loved her because it's what you're saying you're doing now. She called them like she saw them. Period. End of story. And she didn't care where the bodies fell. She did it.
But I think there's an underlying truth to Mama, you know, really, and that's why everybody relates to her. So
yeah. How did you develop her?
She was written by a couple of the writers on Carol's show, beautifully, beautifully written, and she was actually written for Carol, but that was not the part that spoke to Carol, so she gave it to me, and I have often said that Mama is yet another gift from Carol.
Carol is a beautiful person, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
I've never had the opportunity to interview her, and I would love to, simply because she seems like she has a big heart.
Yeah, she does. The best.
But it seemed like everyone on the Carol Burnett Show had a big heart and that you loved working with each other.
Well, I think, you know, there is definitely a trickle-down theory, and as it is at the top, so goes the company. And I think that all of us, regardless of who we are or what we are just beneficiaries of all the love that everybody feels for Carol.
It was amazing. You know what? My favorite parts where you guys would break each other up.
Yes.
You know, and it was true. It wasn't one of those things, well, oh, yeah, they're just putting it on. It was for real.
It was a very close-knit company. It was really like a family, and the chemistry was amazing. And, yeah, Carol and, or actually Harvey and Tim had never even met the first time they worked on The Burnett Show.
No way.
Which
serious?
I thought was interesting.
Wow. Yeah. No wonder they were breaking each other up all the time. It was wonderful and still is wonderful. That's the neat part of this. And same thing with Mama's Family. It will never go away because it's on a DVD and other. This next generation is going to be able to see it and laugh just as hard as we did.
Well, it's great. I was talking to somebody the other day who said she grew up on Mama's Family. She said, I am going to give it to my grandkids like a present. She said she gave them, I forget what she said she gave them a few months ago, and they fell in love with a series they had never seen. And she said, I'm going to give this one to them and say, here's a TV show that you never got to see. And she said, they're going to fall in love with it. She said, I know they will.
No doubt. Absolutely yeah. No doubt. Well, Vicki, I know we're out of time, but thank you so much for being with us today. We'll look forward to the next series and hopefully keeping our fingers crossed that you'll come up to Sacramento in Northern California and perform
so.
your two-woman show. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
And thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's Vicki Lawrence, and you can go to VickiLawrence.com, or, of course, you can go to MamasFamilyDVDs.com. This is season 1 and 2. Fabulous. You will absolutely love it. And your children and grandchildren will absolutely adore it, too. Mama Goes On Forever. That comes directly from Popoff.
She was just so delightful. And you have limited time. Sometimes I can do a longer interview, sometimes a shorter one. It's, you know, whatever the PR people said, this is what you have to do. But we got a lot in, I think, in that interview. I just came to my brain, the designer for all the gowns, you know, on the Carol Burnett Show, Bob Mackey. Unbelievable. You know, his designs always. My favorite, you told me you're the one with the elephant thing. That was your best bit on the Carol Burnett Show. You know what mine was? The Gone with the Wind.
Oh, the curtain.
Yeah, where she took the curtains down and they made it into a dress and she comes walking down the staircase. It's just, and they did it. So I guess that's what comedy is. You do it in a serious way. And that's why people laugh.
Right.
Isn't that true? Just amazing. Anyway, and again, you can go to VickiLawrence.com and get more information. She is, she married twice, by the way. She was married to a singer-songwriter, Bobby Russell, from 72 to 74. That was short-lived. And but then she also married, and this, he was a Hollywood makeup artist, Al Schultz. And he was on the Carol Burnett Show, part of the show. And that's where they met, and they married in 1974. And I guess they're still together. I haven't really looked that up. But, you know, we'll remember all these wonderful times, don't you think, Ken?
She mentioned Nora Ephron. I love Nora Ephron's work.
Really?
Yes.
I have never read her works. I'm sorry.
Well, but she's also a film director.
Oh.
She directed Sleepless in Seattle, or she wrote Sleepless in Seattle. I think she directed, but she was also a director.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I'm going to have to look that up.
Right.
And some more information on that and see her, the work.
Another interesting thing is that my wife's father's second wife looked exactly like Carol Burnett. So she looked like Vicki Lawrence.
No kidding.
So everywhere they went, because they lived in Beverly Hills and Hollywood, they always would mistake her for Carol Burnett. And
my gosh.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, it would be strange. Stop on the street. Hi, aren't you? No, not that at all. Okay, we got to go on to our second guest today, because I got to tell you, I did this interview at the Sacramento Convention Center, the community center, the theater. And it was before opening night of Dr. Doolittle. And when I walked in, and he walked in, and I looked up and up and up. He is 6 feet, 6.5 inches tall. And on stage, I think what they used to say, he would work upstage because he didn't want people, or downstage. He had to work it so that he wasn't overpowering the rest of the people on the stage, which I thought was wonderful. And, you know, I'm what, 5'2.5"? If I stretch up real tall, I can go 5'3". So you can imagine what it was like. And I could hardly wait till he sat down so I can get eyeball to eyeball with him. But he was a delight. 10-time Tony Award winner. Now he's doing acrylic on oil canvases. And I looked at some of them, and it was really interesting because really very eclectic. Is that the way I can say it? He had paintings of bananas to old men with dogs, just a little something for everyone. And don't you notice that a lot of people, a lot of these celebrities go to painting or acrylics, crafting, you know, all these kinds of things. Isn't that amazing? I mean, those were things that they loved doing. And then after they retired or semi-retired, they went back to it.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, you know, it is amazing how many, you know, Robert De Niro, a lot of them, you know, these actors,
yeah.
They must need, some quiet time.
I think Red Skelton was another one. Buddy Ebsen was another one. We're going to do an interview with Buddy Ebsen because that was so fun. He kept doing the Beverly Hillbillies thing, you know, go doggy, you know. But anyway, I love these people because they were so real when I got to talk to them, and they were so forthcoming about what their thoughts were and their feelings, etc. So, but anyway, instead of my telling you about all the little sidebars, let's just go ahead. And I don't need to tell you who Dr. Doolittle is. So how about 10-time Tony Award winner Tommy Tune?
If I could talk to the animal, just imagine it, chatting to a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting to a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be. If I could talk to the animal, learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python, and I would curse in fluent kangaroo. If people ask me, can you speak rhinoceros? I'd say, of corceris. Can't you? And if you just stop to think of it, there's no doubt of it, I shall win a place in history.
And most certainly performer. Tommy Tune's reputation precedes him with work in Grand Hotel, the Will Rogers Follies, the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I can just go on and on and on. But now he is turning in a performance that is absolutely stellar with Dr. Doolittle. Tommy, what a nice time to have you with us on Pop Off.
Oh, what a great time to be in your city. It's so beautiful here.
It is.
So many trees.
You never stop working. You're on the road doing all kinds of shows all the time.
That's what I do. This is my life.
You actually are working with, is it, what is the name of that group? The Backstreet? Backstreet is one of the shows that you did. That's where you started, with Backstreet in 65.
No, I don't know who you mean.
It was way back. It was called Baker Street. Baker Street.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the first Broadway show that I was in. I was in the chorus of that.
But that's a start for you. But look where you are today. It's absolutely amazing.
I've been very, very lucky and fortunate and grateful and And I love doing it. You know, that's somebody said that was the key to life, to find something that you knew how to do and that you love to do. And, you know, you figure out how you can pay your rent doing it. And that's the key to success.
I bet a lot of people don't know that you are a fantastic artist, too. You paint?
Yes, I do. I've always painted. Every show I've directed and conceived, I've always painted first to get the colors and the shapes and the order of it right so it entertains and enlightens and hopefully, you know, helps the human condition. So when I started Dr. Doolittle, I started, you know, painting it like I always do. And then I realized I'd never painted animals. So I just put on the brakes and went off to my studio and did a study of animals. And they came out really well. So I did something I've never done before. I had them converted into lithographs. And so I've been... you know, selling them across the country, and they're very reasonable. And so many people have bought them, and we're sort of running thin now. But I still have, I did a series of about 20. I think we've sold out of quite a few.
Wow.
But they're very nice. They're very colorful. The children love them, and they're for grown-ups, too.
Well, it is fantastic to see that you do painting. Is that kind of a release for you, a little bit of a hobby, kind of get away from what you do on stage?
You know, it's kind of like when you're at a banquet table and you just have a little bit of salad, a little bit of main course, a little bit of dessert. You know, you sort of have to move your talent around so you don't burn out on any one thing. That's why I've always jockeyed between directing and choreographing and performing and singing and dancing. And painting is just one more of those things. And writing, you know. Yeah. You sort of have to... You don't want to wear out one muscle. Yeah. You gotta, when you go to the gym, you gotta work your whole body, not just your biceps.
Now, I have to ask you too, how close is Tommy Toon to Dr. Doolittle? Are you an animal lover?
Well, of course. And that's why I felt I could take on the show, because I have a dog and I talk to him all the time. And
what's his name?
Little Schubert. Little Schubert. It's a name from a theater that I opened in New York, and on opening night, Little Schubert came into my life, so that's where his name came from.
What kind of dog is
he? He's a Yorkshire Terrier he's perfect for traveling because he fits in a little thing under my seat on the plane.
So he goes with you?
Oh, everywhere.
I love it. Yeah. That's so cool.
He's not at the theater right this moment because my dressing room's getting set up. But then when they get it all set up, then he'll come with me. He's there every night. I tell him I'm going on now to be a good boy. Then after the show, I said, what do you think? Because he hears it, you know. He hears my voice over the squawk box. So he's my little companion. He's a great friend.
I actually love the idea when people love animals. How do you feel about this? If my animals, I have two big boys. They're 70 pounders. But if I have someone come in the house and they don't like them, I kind of not trust them. It seems like animals have that sixth sense that we don't have.
They know a lot. Little Schubert knows when it's going to rain long before I do and long before there are clouds. He's very sensitive to things, so he sort of leads me.
What is your philosophy in life? I mean, seriously, to keep going the way you do, the schedule that you keep, I know you love the stage, but there has to be a philosophy that keeps Tommy Toon in tune.
My gosh, I think it's enjoy every moment as it presents itself. Don't get caught up on the past, because that's done. And the future is a big question mark. So if we can just stay in the moment, like me with you holding the microphone in my face and my looking into your eyes and I'm talking to you, this is our moment right now. And if you just chain all those moments together, you just have a real long, unbroken line of pearls that each moment really is a jewel.
Andy Warhol once said that Tommy Toon exudes a cultured serenity and a genuine love of life. Now, I kind of agree with him in one way, but when you get on stage, your energy is incredible.
Yeah, well, that's the job, too. Look at the size of this theater. We have to fill it with our vibration, you know, because we're sharing everything that you have. When you walk on stage, your whole life's coming with you.
How do you
draw from that to entertain and enlighten.
How do you deal with that? Because when you walk on stage, now, I'm a little pee. I used to do a lot of stage work and singing, etc. When you walk on stage, you bare your soul. I mean, you are so open to that audience. You're giving them everything of you and asking for love back, right?
Well, yes, I suppose. It's a shared thing. It's sort of like you give out and the audience gives back, and then it comes this way and it goes that way. And it's very metaphysical. We'll have to talk to Shirley MacLaine about it. I don't know what it is.
But it's true.
Brings people to live theater, because it's something that you don't get when you turn on the television. Because on the television, the performer on the television is saying, I am here. Mm-hmm. But in the theater, we are saying, I am here with you. And with those two little words, with you, are all the difference. So consequently, every performance I do of Dr. Doolittle, and the whole company feels this way, because we have a big company of dancers and singers and puppeteers. We all feel that way. It's different every night because the audience is different. Mm-hmm. So it's never the same. And that's the joy of going out and sitting in a beautiful big theater and seeing something live.
Is that the reason? Because you would be fabulous on the big screen and have been, but you don't do a whole lot of Hollywood movies.
No, I don't like the process. It's tedious and boring for me, and that's the one thing that I don't ever want to be in life is bored. I mean, I think that's...
You couldn't be.
That is sinful. That is not treating the gift of life very well if you're bored. Something seriously wrong if we can go through life being bored. Something is wrong.
Now, to look as good as you do, doing the kinds of shows you do every single day, you're on the road, what do you do to keep healthy and fit to stay the way you are?
Well, I work out and I do yoga and I try to eat well. It's very hard on the road to eat well because restaurants close early and I can't have a meal before a show, because it's like, you know, a show's like running a marathon. And he said, "Do I have any other secrets?" I don't think so. Dancing, I think dancing is a real magical way of energizing the body. I don't know.
No, it's good though.
But
I mean, I want to pass those good secrets on. Uh-huh.
I think that it's what I said about when you asked me about my philosophy. Yeah. I think it's about being intensely interested in every moment.
Yeah.
Because we will never be sitting here talking like this again in our lives.
You're right.
It will never. I may see you again sometime.
But it'll never be the same.
A few years down the way, but it won't be the same. Yeah. Now is now. So it's about taking the moment.
It is beautiful. You live in the moment, and you cherish the moment, don't you?
When I'm at my best, I do. Occasionally, I fall back, and I start having sadnesses of loss, and like everybody.
Yeah.
But I, you know, like Cher said to Nicolas Cage, snap out of it.
You know? Get over it and move on, right?
Yeah. Because it's really about right this moment. And that when I'm at my best, that's where it is. And I think that's where the secret to life resides.
If Tommy Toon could step out, this is a hard question. I've asked this of a lot of people, and they say it's probably the hardest question that I ask. Step out of yourself, look back, and as long as you want, tell me who Tommy Toon is.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, he's this...
I know.
I can't do it.
Yes, you can.
I can't. Maybe if I was a movie star, I could look at myself on the screen and tell you. I see, everybody thinks I know what I'm doing when I'm up there on the stage. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. Uh-huh. And I'm doing it for you. So I can't see what I do. I sing and I dance and I enjoy life and I try to exude the very best of what I'm given. Use my life experience every time I step on a stage, and of course kindness is key.
Oh, yeah.
And that's sort of kind is a four-letter word these days.
You bet.
You say kindness to some kids and they go duh,
yawn.
That's why I love Dr. Doolittle, because it really does promote kindness. It starts with kindness to animals. But see, Dr. Doolittle is very good with animals and not very good with people. And so that is his lesson that he learns is, you know, he is a member of the human race too. So all of his kindness to animals, he is a given. And then he learns how to spread that to human beings, which
now,
I think is a pretty good lesson.
You betcha. Now, I know that Tommy Toon's going to live a long time, a great, rich life yet to come. But when you're gone, How do you want to be remembered? Not necessarily what's on the tombstone, but how do you want to be remembered?
This is such a mortality question. Oh, I don't know. If people could smile when they hear my name, that would be good enough for me.
Oh, I know that's definitely a happening. It always will be. If you could give people an idea of what theater is all about, there are young people who have never walked into a real theater to watch people on stage.
I know this. And this show is a show that I created for those young people, because it's nothing taxing, and it's all in one. There's not an intermission. It goes from beginning to end, unbroken like a movie, which I think it's more amenable to our world right now, to the attention span of young people. So there is an experience here that you cannot get from a video game, because it is a shared experience. And there's nothing else like it that I know. Once I discovered it at a very tender age, an aunt took me to see a ballet, and I got such a charge out of it that it changed my life. And I think that it's something that you can't see on a DVD. It's only something that exists in the here and now, in this moment, and that moment never happens again. But you can take the feeling of that and move it into the apartments of your mind, and it can dwell there for your whole life. I remember that night I saw Dr. Doolittle in Sacramento, and Tommy Toon was dancing down there with a lot of monkeys. And right, and then that's it.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful.
It's different than movies, because movies you can always look at again.
But this is
more precious.
I look into your eyes, seriously. And I always try, because those are the windows to the soul, we know that. And it seems like you are so much more metaphysical, so much into people, so much into feeling and doing and being a part of the moment with those people. That's a beautiful person, not only a beautiful performer.
Well, thanks. It comes on you with time, I think. If you get an idea of what the road is, then you can get on the road. You never get there, but at least you're on the road. Yeah. And when you make a compromise, say there's a car coming in the opposite direction and you're both speeding toward each other, compromise is just pulling over and let them pass and then go on. Yeah. You know, it only takes a moment to let someone pass.
Give
them the moment and then go on.
To hooray for you for doing these kinds of shows, because we do need a kinder, gentler nation. We have gotten so confrontational, so obnoxious.
And cynical. That's what worries me. The cynicism aspect.
And the kids are growing up in this society.
I know it. Well, there's not an ounce of cynicism in Dr. Doolittle. And believe it or not, I get criticized for it.
Really?
Yes, people can't believe it. They think there's some ulterior agenda.
See?
I mean, it's not, you know, it's suspect. Kindness is suspect.
Well, please do not change. You are absolutely fabulous.
Oh,
and I thank you for taking the time, because I know you're opening tonight.
I know. I'm so excited. This is a wonderful theater.
Yeah.
That noise you hear in the back is the cut. They're setting up the sets right now, and we're getting the costumes out of the trunks, and the orchestra's rehearsing in the lobby, and it's all very exciting.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to the next time we meet.
Thank you so much.
And it'll be a brand new moment, too.
Oh, yes, it will. It always is.
And as he said, Tommy Toon's life sings for all of us on Pop Off.
He was such a delight, Ken, unreal. And he did so many different things. He was the choreographer on the Dean Martin show for a while. He had a Holland America Cruise Line show called Paparazzi that he did. Briefly on the Mr. Roberts show. Yeah, you know, he did so many, many things. And boy, I wish we had even more of them. He's like 86 now, but he's painting. So that's the main thing.
Wow, 86. That's amazing.
86. Yeah, 86. Well, anyway, as always, it was a pleasure working with you, Ken, and I hope you had as much fun as I did doing these interviews with this week, and it was a kick checking in on some great entertainers, as always, on Pop Star Talk, but there's going to be more to come next time. So yours truly, Mary Jane Pop, along with Ken Knoll and our engineer, Greg, invite you to be with us next time on Pop Star Talk. And don't forget, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and dare to dream.
Produced by Autovita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.